today. Then our next topic we'll tackle will be the second coming. Then we'll tackle resurrection, judgment, and then heaven and hell. So that's our plan. And I'm thinking just about each one of these topics, we'll devote possibly close to two Sundays on it. Of course, somewhere in the line there, that wouldn't work out because we only have 8 weeks. So we'll see how it works out and go from there. But I put on the board today, we're going to be talking about death, and we're going to address why do people die, and the two or three component being. Are we a body and a spirit, or are we a body, spirit, and soul? We'll kind of look at that subject. And then how is physical death related to spiritual death? So we may not get that all covered, and that's okay. We'll continue it next week if so be it. All right, so if you're like most people, and I'm sure you are, we tend to be very curious about things that we haven't experienced. Sometimes we have a little bit of anxiety over those type of things. But that's really the case that we have with the topics that we're going to be talking about. We know that people die. We experience that through our lives. Every day we see somebody dying. We know the Bible talks about a second coming. Okay, we haven't experienced that yet. But if you're a person that studies the Bible, you know it's going to happen. Okay, and then resurrection. Have you actually experienced somebody resurrecting from the dead? Okay. And judgment. We know it's going to happen, but same thing about heaven and hell. So anyway, you get the idea. But just because we're going to be using the inspired words of God, that doesn't mean that we will have all the curiosities that we have appeased. Okay? Because we know that the Bible has all the answers about life and godliness, but it doesn't necessarily answer all of our questions that we have. And that's okay. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 29 and 29, it says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may do all the words of this law." So we recognize the fact that God doesn't answer every question that we can ask. But God does give us everything that we need to know that pertains to life and godliness. What verse comes to your mind when you think of that? Second Timothy 3:16-17 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So he gives us everything we need to have to thoroughly equip us. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 3 tells us virtually the same thing. "His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue." So, let's get to our first question. Why do people die? Why do people die? Well, in the medical community, people die because they have an irreversible cessation of circulatory or respiratory functions, or an irreversible cessation of all functions of the entire brain, including the brain stem. Now, how did I know that? Well, this was so declared by the United States Uniform Law Commission, which established in 1980 what's called the UDDA. The UDDA stands for Uniform Determination of Death Act. And you're thinking, wow, why in the world would they have to have something like that? But it is an acceptable medical standard for determining death. And by determining someone being dead is actually a pretty big deal, not so much for the person that's dead, but more for the living. Such standards are necessary, not because of death itself, but because of the effect of the law of the biological fact of death. Criminal law outlaws murder for the protection of life. Yet, ironically, criminal law requires a legal determination of death upon which murder sanctions can be anchored. Now, determinations of death are also important in establishing the property relationship that arises through inheritances and device. And of course, when you think about the inheriting land and all that sort of stuff, it's all got to be pretty legal. And you think of the story of Ruth, okay, and you remember that story and how that Boaz had to meet at the gates of the city, and how they had to make a deal, and they swapped their sandals and all that sort of stuff. So I think you understand what I'm saying. So it's important to establishing property relationships. They are important in tort law to actions in wrongful death and survivor actions. The standard for determining death are not much of a problem for the deceased, but they are important to the living, who may be favored or disfavored in the law because of the biological fact. So, in short, dying is really a big deal, isn't it? But it's especially a big deal to those who pay no heed to the law of the Lord. And that's what we're going to be talking about. We're not so much concerned about the law of the land as we are about the law of the Lord, because it has far greater impact on our lives than the law of the land. So, why do people die? The answer, people die because of what is called the original sin. And what do I mean by the original sin? What am I talking about?
Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve, all right? The first sinners that were on this earth. The disobedience of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God had warned the first couple that trespassing is the law would result in their death. Genesis 2:17 says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." And we know that that is a basic principle. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." That's an established principle, God-given principle that will never, ever change until we get to the end of time. And then we'll talk about that later. It would appear that Adam and Eve were meant to dwell with God forever. So, do you think it's possible that they didn't really fully grasp the meaning of death? Or maybe they just didn't get Maybe they just didn't fully grasp the ramifications it would have on them and on their offspring. Anybody want to offer any thoughts about that? If we think that they were to live forever, had they ever experienced death? And I know we discussed this a little bit in one of the classes we had before, but We often say that that because of their sin and because of their nakedness, we know that God had to provide animal skins for them. He didn't have to, but he did. Obviously, they would probably be a lot more comfortable than the fig leaves that they fashioned for themselves. But because of that, I assume that there had to be some animals that had to die to cover up their nakedness.
I don't think it would be fair to say that they didn't know anything about death, because if we say that, then we're saying that God told them, God expected them to live a certain way without knowing any of the consequences.
All right.
I don't think God doesn't do that.
Yeah, that's a good point, I think. And I had that question. Would God hold us accountable for something we did not understand? And it doesn't seem logical from all the things that we read in the Bible. That doesn't seem logical, does it?
Well, the serpent had told them, "You will surely
die if you eat the right and right.
You said the serpent said that?
Not die.
Yeah, he said you won't die.
Right, so they had to have some concept.
Okay, so obviously they must have had some kind of understanding. Right.
Most people don't think about the consequences of their actions.
We override that, don't we?
All too often.
Yes. All right. Well, so my advice to all of us would be pay attention when God speaks. That's just the bottom line. When God speaks, pay attention. And that's why we emphasize here, and I'm sure other places emphasize, read your Bible every day. Read, 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 because that is the Word of God. And when God speaks to us, we need to pay attention. Okay? Listen to what Moses had to say to Israel in Deuteronomy 30, 19, and 20. He says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. Loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice, and holding fast to Him, for He is your life and length of days. So he plainly states, it's a life and death thing. Listen to your Father. Proverbs 8 and 36 says, but he who fails to find me, talking about in this chapter about the wisdom from God, he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. So if you don't care about the word of the Lord, it says you love death, because that's going to be the end result. So unfortunately, sin had at some time in eternity past invaded the heavenly realm of angels. And we see that in Revelations 12 and 9. And Satan, the instigator of the rebellion that took place in heaven, he appears to Eve as a serpent, tempting her to rebel against God as well. So he was a rebeller, and he wanted Adam and Eve to rebel too. And he talked them into it. Eve, go ahead, James.
I was going to say, he applied to the, in 1 John, it gives us the three sins, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And he applied, or appealed to that inside of them. He tells them in Genesis 3:5 says, he knows that the day that you eat, that your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So he applied to their desire to be
right.
Powerful as God.
Yeah. And they start rolling that over in their mind, don't they? Well, yeah. It's good to look. It looks good. And all the process started on, okay. The instigator appears to Eve and tempts her, and she gave the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil to her husband, and of course we know that constituted sin. Sin, what is sin? Okay, transgression of the law. So God gave them a law, and they transgressed that. That sin brought death into the world as mankind became separated from the source of life. They separated themselves. Now, since that time, every human produced by the seed of a man and born of a woman has produced offspring that sin. This sinful nature brings about death, the Scripture tells us. Romans 5 and 12 says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. Now, Genesis 3 describes the curse that God pronounced upon the world after this sin took place. And there was consequences for Eve, and the consequences that he told Adam, and then also to the serpent. He told Adam in 3:19, he says, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So physical death of the body is what God's speaking about here when he says you turn back into the dust. Well, is that an absolute, or how do we look at that? Well, we know if you just bury a dead animal in the ground or a human being, what happens? It eventually rots away and turns back to dirt. Now, we know that we have some people in Egypt that have been embalmed, and their body still has a likeness of somewhat of a body, but it's all shriveled up and dried up. But we get the point. Eventually, it'll just rot away eventually. Physical death did not occur immediately, though, did it? But at the ripe old age of 930 years, Adam died. Now, do you know what age you're going to die at? I think most of us could say probably not. Okay? But we all understand that it will happen. Okay? Unless the Lord returns while we still remain. And at the funeral at Ann's funeral, Ann Dennis's funeral, I thought Tad did an excellent job. He talked about, well, you know, usually when somebody dies, you get a phone call and said, well, have you heard? Ann passed away last night. And whether you're a good friend, a member of the church, an aunt or an uncle or what, you're going to get the call. And, of course, the point that Tad made in his speech was that someday somebody's going to get a call about us. I thought he did an excellent job on that. Because of their sin, the sacrificial death of animals occurred, and we already mentioned that. So their skin could provide a better covering of their nakedness than the fig leaves that had fashioned for themselves. Now, do you see anything with those skins that God provided for them? Is there any correlation that we might have with that, with other events that happen later on? I see some heads shaking. What are you thinking of, Karen?
Well, the animals have the blood for Adam and Eve, because
Jesus. Okay. The animals had, without the shedding of blood, they're is no remission of sin. We use that verse a lot. That's in Hebrews. Okay. What does that blood do for us? Yes, it covers it. All right. So we have a covering there. Well, we need to talk about the other type of death that Adam and Eve sin brought, and that is what we call spiritual death. So what is spiritual death? First of all, we need to recognize that expression spiritual death is really not a biblical, it's not really a biblical term. I just typed in spiritual death, and I looked through, I don't know, probably at least 15 different translations of the Bible, and I never ever found that expression, spiritual death. But we do know that it's certainly a biblical concept. It may not be a biblical term, but it is a biblical concept. And there's several reasons why we could say that. I'm going to give you one here. In 1 Timothy 5th chapter, verse 6, Paul's addressing the subject of widows, and he says, "But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives." That seems strange. How can you be dead and alive at the same time? It's possible to be alive and dead at the same time. Scripture shows us that. So we must remember that death is considered. If I was to ask you to define death, what word comes to your mind?
Separation.
Separation, that's right. That's what it means. Death means separation. So the fellowship that Adam and Eve had with their Creator was fractured and caused a separation between them and their God. Adam and Eve were driven from the garden, you remember? There was angels put there with flaming swords, and they were no longer allowed to partake of the tree of life. Genesis 3:23 and 24 says, "Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard their way to the tree of life." So, when did this spiritual death occur? Now, we know that the physical death occurred several years later for Adam. When he was 930 years old, he died. Okay, so he didn't die on the spot, as we know. But how about his spiritual death? When did that occur?
They felt the separation then when they were kicked out of the garden. You know, God walked with them in the garden, and that relationship ended then.
Very good point. Genesis 3, 9 and 10 says, "But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'Oh, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself.'" So the separation, as James said, took place immediately. It says they partake of the forbidden fruit and were fearful and ashamed. Well, sin causes things to happen, doesn't it? When you sin, it causes things to happen. And it causes things to happen that you may never even ever suspect. Now, in the case of Adam and Eve, they were gripped with fear and shame. Okay? And I wrote on the board here, other consequences of sin. What kinds of things does sin sometimes produce? And you tell me, and I'll write some of these things down. Besides death that we already talked about, we know that sin produces death. The wage of sin is death. What other kinds of consequences does sin cause? What?
Guilt.
Okay. All right. Just keep it coming.
Broken relationships.
Okay.
You just mentioned fear.
Okay. Fear. Okay.
I guess you could say premature or immediate death.
Yeah, let's say premature.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Happens early, sometimes it happens right away.
Guilt. How about you? I guess you're down guilt.
We got guilt. What's that?
Depression.
Depression? Okay, absolutely. What else?
Sorrow.
What was that, Dwayne?
Sorrow.
Sorrow. Any others?
Denial.
Denial. Okay. See if I've got anything on my list. What's that?
Regret.
Regret, yes. How about this one? You think sin causes stress? Okay.
I've got one that, you know, just say loss of influence, but what I'm really thinking about is, you know, maybe parents that sin. And then their children have no interest in God. Or in other words, the loss of your family. Put it that way, something like that.
Okay.
Addiction.
Okay, I'm running out of room. You may have some more. But we get the idea, don't we? I put on there, Mike said loss of family, and I put on there loss of work. You can lose your job over sin. Okay? Lots of people have. Okay, so and this list could get a lot larger, I'm sure. But we get the idea that sin causes things to happen that you may never suspect and never even think about. And we're talking about bad things that really make, that just wrecks your life, okay? Somebody said addictions. All kinds of health issues we could write on there. Lots of different health issues, okay? Now, spiritual death, like physical death, was also passed on to their descendants. But in what way was it passed on? Now, that's a question. That's kind of a big question because some people actually believe that, little babies are held accountable for sin, and so that's why they think it's necessary to have their children baptized, or what they call baptized. A lot of times they sprinkle them or whatever. Why do they do that?
Well, they have the belief that because Adam sinned, we're all born in sin. As soon as we're born, we're sinners.
Okay.
And so they want to try to save that soul or that child. Which, if you understand the Bible, doesn't make any sense at all.
Okay, and Mike says it doesn't make any sense at all. Why doesn't it make sense? What do we know about when God holds us accountable for our sins?
He holds us accountable for our sins, not for anybody else.
Okay.
Stand in judgment of what we do.
Okay. And so, if a child is, let's just pick a number. Let's just say a child is 5 years old. If you ever saw a 5 year old tell a lie. Okay. Okay. But is he accountable for that?
As much as he understands, but more understanding is coming. So as much as the child will probably be told by a parent, this is a lie, it will have a consequence. We'll move forward and you'll grow in your understanding until there's an accountability.
Okay, so we finally get to an age, and what age is that? The Bible doesn't give us a number. But we'll finally get to a particular age where we just know we will have that feeling of separation. Like, you know what? I am not connected to God. We'll get that feeling that I need to be connected to God and I'm not connected to God. And we'll understand that we're doing some things that aren't right. But at what point that is, I can't determine that. But the thing about it is, if you ever get to that point where you start feeling like that, a person needs to follow up on that. Don't suppress that, because if you do, it's like callus that builds up, and you cover it up, and then pretty soon you maybe never have those feelings anymore. I have this question. We're talking about spiritual death is like physical death, and how do we pass that on? Is it through the genes? What do you think of that? Well,
genetics is physical.
Yes, genetics is physical, and we do know that a lot of times we have tendencies that our parents had. Okay, now a lot of times you say, "Boy, I hope I never turn out like that." You look at your parents and you look at some of the mistakes that they have, and you think, "Well, I sure hope I don't turn out like that, or I'm like that." But the bottom line is, we are a lot like our parents, aren't we? Or our grandparents? We see people down the line behind us that we picked up some of their traits, and. So we have some tendencies. I'm going to say that we definitely have some tendencies that others have had in our past.
But I think we have to be careful, because sometimes people use that as an excuse. You know, you hear, well, I was raised this way. You know, they might have been raised by an alcoholic or a drug.
Right, right. Yeah, and I can't help it because my father was an alcoholic, or my grandfather.
Or they were abused, and so they abused. But none of that has to be. You know, I think we have to be careful that we don't make excuses for people.
Yeah.
Using others, because anybody can turn their life around, and so seldom do we hear the stories of people who were raised, but it happens.
Yes, sure.
Hear it, that, you know, wanted to find a better life, wanted and looked for God and found God and had and led a good life.
Absolutely.
You know,
the Word of God is very powerful, isn't it?
It is.
It can actually...
It can bring you out of anything. But so many times when... And it says, you know, the wages of sin are death. And sometimes it's a slow death, sometimes it's a quick death. But
yes.
Eventually it is, if you stay in it. And you see it with alcoholism and drug addiction and how they just go down the road and they just feel more and more sorry for themselves, and instead of looking for a way out, they just get deeper and deeper.
Sin kind of is like makes me think of like a big, like a snowball. Snowball starts small, okay? But we do know that sin is very, I don't know what the word I want to use, but sometimes it's hard to get it off of you, you know.
It's like a slippery slope.
Yeah, slippery slope.
Start going down
and it just starts growing and growing, and one little sin, the next thing you know, it may cause you to lie, and then it may cause you to do this and that, and it just, and the more it just starts sticking to you. And that's why it's so important that we understand what sin is and how to get out of it and how to repent. I have one more question here that I want to ask about on this same matter. Is it possible that someone could live a sinless life?
No.
Okay.
The baby who dies.
Well, yeah.
What's that?
A baby who dies.
Okay, a baby who dies. Okay. Would be sinless, because you're saying that they haven't yet learn what the law is, or don't have the capacity to know what the law is. Okay, I guess that's, I think we could say that. But as we think of people that are accountable, the only human being that we know of that was sinless was Jesus. Because the scripture says, and there's more than one, but Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So, as Mike just plainly said, no, I know that's what he was thinking about. We all have sinned. The scripture just tells us that. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once lived." And this kind of refers back to what James mentioned already. "We also once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." So we're all in the same boat, because we all have lived this way. So from the time of the first man, Adam, until the end of time, the human race will labor under what we call the law of sin and death. Romans 8 and 2. "The physical, social, spiritual, and eternal consequences of death are clearly beyond the ingenuity of man to solve." We can't solve them. It's only through God that we can come up with an answer to our problem. God in His goodness sent His Son to abolish the law of sin and death, and He established the law of the Spirit who gives life. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So when the Bible talks about a peace that passes understanding, in Philippians, I think that, I didn't get the scripture written down, but it talks about a peace that passes understanding. In other words, a peace that goes beyond understanding. A peace that, if you are a Christian, you know, how many of these things disappear? If you're a Christian and you have this life of peace, and the Bible talks about rest, doesn't it? Okay, well, how are you able to rest? People that have some of these problems, they don't have very good rest, do they? Of course, we know we're going to have an eternal rest, but I'm just thinking about rest in general. Okay, if you don't have guilt, okay, or broken relationships, you have all these things, it's hard to rest, isn't it? It's hard to be at peace. But that's what God does for us. God in His goodness sent His Son to abolish the law of sin and death and establish this law of the Spirit who gives life. So for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. 1 Corinthians 15:20-26, and I'm not going to read that, and we're going to close at that right here. Just put it in kind of in a summation here. Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:20-26, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Okay. Proverbs 15:24 says, the path of life leads upward for the prudent, that he may turn away from Sheol beneath. So next week when we meet, we're going to shift gears just a little bit, and we're going to consider Hebrews. If you want to, you might be looking at this for next week. Hebrews 4th chapter, verse 12, it says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. So the next question we're going to try to address next week is, is a human being made up of three major components, the body, soul, and spirit, or is soul and spirit used interchangeably in the Bible to make us a two-component being? We'll discuss that next week. I appreciate your comments and your attention. Any closing remarks you'd like to make?